高三英语高考练习十。
1. Listening Comprehension. Section A. Directions. In Section A, you will hear 10 short conversations between two speakers. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. Conversations and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a conversation and question about it, read the 4 possible answers on your paper and decide which one is the best answer to the question you have heard. 1. The debate about the next generation scheduled for this afternoon has been canceled. The whole morning I spent preparing for it is wasted.
Not really. Stella called this morning to put it off till tomorrow morning.
Question. When will the debate take place? Two. I thought you'd gone to see your parents last week before you left for New York.
I intended to, but at the last minute, they called to say the weekend was inconvenient, so I stayed indoors altogether.
Question. What did the woman do last weekend?
Three. I've been studying all the time, but still can't see any improvement in my grades.
Maybe instead of studying in your dorm, you'd better go to a quiet place.
Question. What does the man mean? Four. Oh, Ben, you're wearing a green jacket but yellow trousers. It's the strangest combination I've ever seen.
I know. I overslept and dressed in a hurry.
Question. What does the woman think the way Ben is dressed?
Five. Have you received a check from the company to cover the damage to your car?
Not yet, but yesterday I was told I should expect to get it within the next few days.
Question. What are the two speakers most probably talking about?
Six. The refrigerator isn't working properly. We should either call for service or buy a new one.
But I think it's stuck with too much stuff. Let me get some out.
Question. What will the man do next? Seven. Our teacher encouraged us to watch the news in English on TV. She says it is a good way to learn a language.
I think so, but it'll be especially helpful if you can check the same story in the newspaper.
Question. What does the man mean? Eight. I told my classmates today that I'd be going abroad for further study next semester, but they seemed a little surprised.
Well, last week I let your plans slip to some, so more likely the word got round.
Question. What can be inferred from the dialogue?
Nine. Mary, I've got bowls out for the soup. Do you think it needs any more salt before I serve it?
It's really nice, and we get exactly what the cookbook says. Why take a chance of ruining it?
Question. What does the woman imply the man should do?
Ten. I heard that only 20% of part-time jobs in the town are advertised. The other 20 are filled some other way.
Really? Then it's likely I need to change my job search techniques.
Question. What can be inferred about the man? Section B. Directions. In Section B, you will hear 2 short passages and 1 longer conversation, and you'll be asked several questions on each of them. The passages and the conversation will be read twice, but the question will be spoken only once. When you hear a question, read the four possible answers on your paper and decide which one is the best answer to the question you have heard. Questions 11 through 13 are based on the following passage.
On April 22nd, more than 190 countries, including the United States, will celebrate Earth Day. It is a day to reflect on the impact humans have on the Earth and to demonstrate and reconfirm our support for environmental protection. The first Earth Day was planned as a teach-in, a day to inform about environmental issues. Earth Day's founder, Gaylord Nelson, said that every university should set aside one day in the school year, the same day across the nation, for the teach-in, and his plan worked. This year, the United States marks Earth Day by highlighting the need to limit the dramatic growth in the world's mismanaged waste. Mismanaged waste pollutes the environment and flows into our ocean, affecting marine health everywhere. Marine wastes, including plastics in the ocean, can lead to declining global fish stocks and costs billions of dollars to fisheries, tourism, and other industries. The United States is working internationally to encourage technical innovation in the waste industry, to promote market solutions, and to raise public awareness about the threats of unmanaged waste and marine wreckage. On Earth Day 2018, we appreciate those who are rising to the many challenges to protect our environment while promoting economic growth and shared prosperity.
Now listen again, please.
On April 22nd, more than 190 countries, including the United States, will celebrate Earth Day. It is a day to reflect on the impact humans have on the Earth and to demonstrate and reconfirm our support for environmental protection. The first Earth Day was planned as a teach-in, a day to inform about environmental issues. Earth Day's founder, Gaylord Nelson, said that every university should set aside one day in the school year, the same day across the nation, for the teach-in, and his plan worked. This year, the United States marks Earth Day by highlighting the need to limit the dramatic growth in the world's mismanaged waste. Mismanaged waste pollutes the environment and flows into our ocean, affecting marine health everywhere. Marine wastes, including plastics in the ocean, can lead to declining global fish stocks and costs billions of dollars to fisheries, tourism, and other industries. The United States is working internationally to encourage technical innovation in the waste industry, to promote market solutions, and to raise public awareness about the threats of unmanaged waste and marine wreckage. On Earth Day 2018, we appreciate those who are rising to the many challenges to protect our environment while promoting economic growth and shared prosperity.
Questions 11. What was the first Earth Day intended to do?
Twelve. What do marine wastes bring about?
13. What is the American government doing by working with other countries?
14 through 16 are based on the following passage.
Where is the university? Is the question many visitors to Cambridge may ask. But no one could point it any one direction because there is no campus. The university consists of 31 self-governing colleges. It has lecture halls, libraries, laboratories, museums, and offices throughout the city. Individual colleges choose their own students who have to meet their minimum entrance requirements set by the university. Undergraduates usually live and study in their colleges, but they are taught in small groups. Lectures and laboratories and practical work are organized by the university and held in university buildings. There are over 10,000 undergraduates and 3,500 postgraduates. About 40% of them are women, and some 8% are from overseas. As well as teaching, research is of major importance. Since the beginning of the 20th century, more than 60 university members have won Nobel Prizes. The university has a huge number of buildings for teaching and research. It has more than 60 specialist subject libraries, as well as the university library, which, as the copyright libraries, is entitled to a copy of every book published in Britain. Examinations are held and degrees are awarded by the university. It allowed women to take the university exams in 1881, but it was not until 1948 that they were awarded degrees.
Now listen again, please.
Where is the university? Is the question many visitors to Cambridge may ask. But no one could point it any one direction because there is no campus. The university consists of 31 self-governing colleges. It has lecture halls, libraries, laboratories, museums, and offices throughout the city. Individual colleges choose their own students who have to meet their minimum entrance requirements set by the university. Undergraduates usually live and study in their colleges, but they are taught in small groups. Lectures and laboratories and practical work are organized by the university and held in university buildings. There are over 10,000 undergraduates and 3,500 postgraduates. About 40% of them are women, and some 8% are from overseas. As well as teaching, research is of major importance. Since the beginning of the 20th century, more than 60 university members have won Nobel Prizes. The university has a huge number of buildings for teaching and research. It has more than 60 specialist subject libraries, as well as the university library, which, as the copyright libraries, is entitled to a copy of every book published in Britain. Examinations are held and degrees are awarded by the university. It allowed women to take the university exams in 1881, but it was not until 1948 that they were awarded degrees.
Questions. 14. Why is it difficult for visitors to locate Cambridge University?
What can we learn from the passage about the libraries in Cambridge?
What does the passage tell us about women students in Cambridge University?
Questions 17 through 20 are based on the following conversation.
Hey, I just read a great book about physics. I think you'd like it. It's called The Physics of the World. It's written by a scientist named Sylvia Mendez.
Oh, I read that book. The writer is a warm and competent guide to the mysteries of physics. I think it promises enrichment for any reader, from those who know little about science to the career physicist.
And it's refreshing to see a strong, curious, clever woman adding her voice to the scientific discourse in a field that has been traditionally dominated by men. I think she is to be praised for making effort to include anecdotes or things about little-known female scientists. You know, they were often victims of a generation firmly convinced that a woman's place was in the home.
I like how the book is clearly written, with each chapter brought to life by pieces of fascinating knowledge. For example, in one chapter, she exposes a myth that I've heard taught by university physics professors. I've often heard that glass windows of the Middle Ages are thicker at the bottom, because glass flows like a fluid. This, she shows, is not true. The distortion, I mean the change of the shape, is actually thanks to a peculiarity of the glassmaker's process.
Yeah, I like how she cultivates scientific engagement by providing a host of do-it-yourself experiments that bring the same foundational principles of classical physics that govern everything from the solar system to your kitchen table. From using complex laws of physics to test whether a spinning egg is cooked, to measuring atmospheric pressure by lifting a piece of cardboard. Her hands-on examples make her book a truly interactive read.
Yes, I must say, this equation-free book is an ideal read for scientists of all fields, anyone teaching science, and even people who dislike physics.
Now listen again, please. Hey, I just read a great book about physics. I think you'd like it. It's called The Physics of the World. It's written by a scientist named Silvia Mendez.
Oh, I read that book. The writer is a warm and competent guide to the mysteries of physics. I think it promises enrichment for any reader, from those who know little about science to the career physicist.
And it's refreshing to see a strong, curious, clever woman adding her voice to the scientific discourse in a field that has been traditionally dominated by men. I think she is to be praised for making effort to include anecdotes or things about little-known female scientists. You know, they were often victims of a generation firmly convinced that a woman's place was in the home.
I like how the book is clearly written, with each chapter brought to life by pieces of fascinating knowledge. For example, in one chapter, she exposes a myth that I've heard taught by university physics professors. I've often heard that glass windows of the Middle Ages are thicker at the bottom, because glass flows like a fluid. This, she shows, is not true. The distortion, I mean the change of the shape, is actually thanks to a peculiarity of the glassmaker's process.
Yeah, I like how she cultivates scientific engagement by providing a host of do-it-yourself experiments that bring the same foundational principles of classical physics that govern everything from the solar system to your kitchen table. From using complex laws of physics to test whether a spinning egg is cooked, to measuring atmospheric pressure by lifting a piece of cardboard. Her hands-on examples make her book a truly interactive read.
Yes, I must say, this equation-free book is an ideal read for scientists of all fields, anyone teaching science, and even people who dislike physics.
Questions 17. What does the woman say about the book the man recommended?
What can we find in the book the man recommended?
How does the author bring her book to life?
20. How does the book cultivate readers' interest in physics?